is working through our worship team, and you guys are just doing an awesome job. Thank you very, very much. Well, hopefully you guys have had a good week. Jeannie, it's good to have you back.
Yeah.
So she had a bout with the coronavirus and is back
and
with
I
us.
Won.
And you won. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So now you are immune.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're talking about spiritual gifts, and we've learned that the Holy Spirit is a gift given to us. But not only is the Holy Spirit given to us, but he also brings gifts with him when he comes to live in our lives. So some of this may be a recap, but why were you infused with the Holy Spirit when you became a believer? Why did the Holy Spirit come and live within you? And one of the reasons is that he wants to identify you as a child of God. You remember when in Revelation, Scripture teaches us that when the Antichrist comes, that he's going to seal different people with his seal, or 666, either on the hand, on the right hand, or on the forehead, and which would identify them as a follower of the Antichrist. What identifies you as a believer is the Holy Spirit in your life. And so one of the reasons for the Holy Spirit is so that you can be identified as a believer. I want to ask you a question, and I'm asking myself this as well. Do people see Jesus in you? I hope so. I hope so. They ought to be able to see the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. One of the markers that we are a believer is that the Holy Spirit lives within us. It's important that we be filled with the Holy Spirit on a continual basis. And I can't say that I'm always that way. Sometimes I get in the flesh.
When I'm driving.
When you're driving.
When Jeannie's driving.
When Jeannie. Sometimes. Yesterday I went to a store. And I was standing in line. And then I was standing in line. And my wife says, "Brad, you're going to have to repent before you preach tomorrow." I can feel, I didn't say a thing. She just felt my agitation. I'm glad she prayed for me. There's some things that can get us off, but it's important for every single one of us to be aware of what's going on in here, because the Holy Spirit wants to reveal himself to those out there. And as long as we are, I'm speaking to myself as you guys, as well as you guys, as long as we are so wrapped up in self, we're not going to be able to be what we need to be to those out there. So as we begin this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer and just ask the Lord to bless this time together. I'm going to ask Brother Bob, would you, not you, you Bob, would you pray for me this morning as I preach? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bob. So look at this passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "In Him also you trusted, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise." Isn't that a wonderful passage? After you believed, the Holy Spirit sealed you as His own. Another reason for the Spirit is to give you the power to live a Christ-like life. You know, many of us, before we come to know Christ, we know there are things we're doing wrong, and we try to do better, and we just keep failing over and over and over and over. Listen to this passage in Romans chapter 8, verse 2. It says, "And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death." And then chapter 8, verse 13. "But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live." It's not possible for us to overcome sin in our own power. It's not possible. We don't have that ability within ourselves. And so one of the reasons the Holy Spirit has given to you is so that you can overcome the sin nature. So that you can overcome the world, so that you can overcome your fleshly desire, so that you can overcome Satan. You can't do that on your own. It's the Holy Spirit who gives you that ability and that power. Now, for many of us, probably for all of us, it's a process, right? It's not like it's a one-shot deal and it's done. Actually, it's an everyday thing. It's an everyday fight. But as we begin to fight against the enemy and fight against our own fleshly desires, we find that the more we fight against those things, the more the Holy Spirit gives us power to overcome. And more power and more power and more power and more power to overcome these things. These scriptures say that it's the Holy Spirit who empowers us to do those things. And so I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit. Man, we'd be a hopeless cause without the Holy Spirit. A third reason the Spirit is given to empower you to do the work that Christ has created you to do. From the very beginning of the world, He created you to do this work using the supernatural abilities given through the Spirit. So when you received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, not only did the Holy Spirit come to live within you, but He also brought some gifts with Him to deposit in you. Now, all of us like gifts, right? The Holy Spirit says, "I am a gift giver, and I'm coming to you to give you supernatural gifts." Now, Father did not save you to take you to heaven only. Otherwise, you would have died when you received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Right? So there's a reason He saved you. There was a reason He called you. There was a reason He chose you. There was a reason that He imparted these gifts into you. And that reason was that you could do the work that He had called you or created you to do from the beginning, from the foundation of the world. Look, if you would, at this passage of Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Do you know why you're here this morning? Because God is preparing you to do the work that He's called you to do. That's just amazing to me. That He thinks enough of me to allow me to work with Him to do the things that He wants us to do. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Scripture says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure." So how does the Holy Spirit work in us? The first thing this passage scripture says, He gives us the desire to do the right thing. Before I met Christ, I really didn't have a desire to do the right thing. I had a desire to do the wrong thing. And I kept doing the wrong thing. But when I met Christ, there was something that transformed in my heart, and a transformation took place that caused me to start wanting to do the right thing and trying to better myself through the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. It's the Holy Spirit who gives me that desire to do the right thing. And not only does He give me the desire to do it, but this passage of Scripture says, not only does He give me the desire to do it, but He gives me the power to do it as well. It's the same way for each of you. This morning sitting here and those who are looking through Zoom, God has called you supernaturally and given you supernatural gifts to do the supernatural work that He has called you to do. It's like you're a special forces, okay? It's like you're special forces that God has called you to accomplish. You may feel like, well, I'm not anything special. Well, ask God about that, okay? You ask God about that because He would differ with you, and you've got to determine whether you're going to believe what you think about yourself or whatever God says about you. God has a special work for you to do. Now, it's impossible to accomplish heavenly assignments by earthly means. Can't do it. Our own talents, our own ingenuity, our own strength, our own brawn, our brains, our common sense, or even business sense will not accomplish the work that God has for you to do. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit that He has gifted each one of us in. A talent is a natural ability to do something well. A talent is a natural ability to do something well. Have you ever seen those individuals that, you know, from the time they're born, you know they're going to play sports. And they just have this ability to jump and run and, you know, just do all kinds of, and you're the man. They're talented. You know, you see them in the first grade, second grade, third grade. They just outdo everybody else in sports. Where did they get that? It's not a spiritual gift. I mean, it's a gift from God. But it's a talent that they're born with. There's a talent that they're maybe passed down through the generations. There's something about kids and even adults. You watch them. You see their talents. You know, there's some people in here who's artists. And they see detail. I miss it. You don't want me painting anything, okay? But they see detail, and they're able to capture that on canvas. And it's just amazing to me the things that they're able to do. Our worship team, you know, did you know that not everybody can play an instrument? Did you know that not everybody can sing? There's something within them that God has given them a natural talent for that those kind of things. I can play the guitar a little bit, but I don't compare to any of these guys. They're just fantastic. God has given them a talent, but did you know a talent is different than a spiritual gift? Now, the talents and spiritual gifts can work together to accomplish the work that God has for them. But a spiritual gift, listen to me, a spiritual gift is given the moment one receives Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. It's brand new. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, when you received Christ, the Holy Spirit came in. When He came in, He brought to you spiritual gifts. And you can we'll study them more as we get along in this series. But they're found in Romans chapter 12, chapter 13, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, in Ephesians chapter 4, and Romans chapter 12. You'll find those, as well as other places, 1 Thessalonians and other places. But as you study those, perhaps you're going to find yourself in one of those giftings. You may not know what your gift is. Many Christians don't know what their gifting is. When I first became a Christian, I didn't know what my gift was. I hated to stand up and talk in front of people. I was telling Michael this last week that, you know, many of you know I'm a ventriloquist. And I was able, Grandy, my partner, helped me get over my fear of speaking in public. Also, I found, so there was a lady, I was in Odell, Oregon, and I was a youth minister, music minister there. I hadn't been a Christian very long, but they asked me to come over and serve as a music and youth minister there. It's a pretty small church. And one day, a lady comes up to me with her, I think, 11-year-old daughter, and says, my daughter is having problems with, she's a kleptomaniac. She just steals everything she can put her hands on. Would you pray for her? I said, sure. I'll pray for her. I prayed for her, you know, just like you would pray for her probably. I just prayed for her. And the lady came back a couple of weeks later and said, you know what? My daughter hasn't had any problems with that anymore. And she never, and as long as I was in Odell, she didn't have any problems with that. And I thought, well, that's weird. I did not realize the Lord had given me a gift of helping people get free of their strongholds. I didn't realize that. And so, but as, you know, as time has gone on, I've discovered that, yeah, that is actually one of the gifts He's given me, is to help people break out of their strongholds. And so, but it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. It's a gift that He's given me. All of you have certain gifts, and Scripture said it's for the work of the body. It's for us. It's for the body, not just us in this church, but there's other parts of the body that go to different churches, and we're a part of them as well, and so what we're to do is to help each other in this mix of gifts. One of the things you may need to understand is that all Christians have at least one gift. All Christians. Can I just ask you a question? How many of you know what your gift is, your spiritual gift? Okay, some of you. All of you, if you're a believer in Christ, you have a spiritual gift. Some Christians have multiple gifts. But not any Christian has all the gifts. Not any one Christian has all the gifts. Now, Jesus did. But all of us have a specific gift that God has deposited to you for a specific purpose in His body. So let me just, we're going to talk about two purposes of the gifts. The first purpose is to glorify God. The second one is to edify the church. Let me tell you a little bit about the Corinthian church. Did you know that, have you ever been to a church with problems? Okay, I hope we weren't talking about us. But the Corinthian church was a problem church. I mean, it's just about everything you can imagine. Back up a little bit. Okay, I'm out of the camera. That's all right. I like to move around. So the Corinthian church was a problem church. And Part of the problem was they were arguing over, some people say, well, I'm following Apollos. Some say, I'm following Paul. Some say, well, I'm following Peter. Well, I'm going to follow Jesus. So, you know, it just kind of went. And in chapter 5, there was this man who was having sexual relations with his stepmom. Okay? And let me just tell you, the whole culture of Corinth was just horrible. It was a horrible place to live, kind of like America. No, I'm sorry. The morality was just gone to the dogs. I mean, it was. And so a lot of times that morality or immorality came into the church. And so the problem with the Corinthian church was, another problem was that there was these individuals who thought themselves to be super spiritual because they had specific gifts. Certain gifts, they said, well, since I've got this gift, I'm just, you know, I'm God's elite. I'm the spiritual elite. And so Paul was trying to kind of help solve those issues as well. And I'll just say this. I don't care what gift you have. That's not right. It doesn't matter what gift you have. That doesn't make you any more spiritual than anyone else. Okay? And this was the thing that Paul was, one of the things that Paul was combating was the idea that because I have certain gifts, then I'm more spiritual than anyone else. Your spirituality is not determined on your gifting. It's determined on your maturity. And there was a lot of immature individuals in the Corinthian church who thought they were spiritual because they had specific spiritual gifts. The first reason or the first purpose for the gift is to glorify God, not to glorify ourselves. And those individuals were, many of them were glorifying themselves. And I'll just say, we sang a song a while ago, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. If you've got a gift, it's because God gave it to you. It's not because you've earned it in any way. It's not because you're one of his special kids that you've got this gift. It's because God gives gifts to all people, and there's no person, regardless of what gift you have, that God looks at as more important than anyone else. We're going to discover as we study this topic that not everyone has the same gifts. We're also going to discover that having a certain gift set does not make you or me any more spiritual than anyone else. And we're going to discover also that the Holy Spirit decides what gift he gives to each one, not us. The second thing, first thing is to glorify God. The second thing is to edify the church. I want you to read a passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 14:12. It says, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts. Now, is it okay to desire spiritual gifts? Is it okay to desire gifts that you don't have? Yeah, the Corinthian church was zealous over spiritual gifts. And Paul says he commends them. He sees them. Since you're zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Listen to 1 Corinthians 14:26. How then is it, brethren, whenever you come together, that each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. Say all things.
All things.
Let all things be done for edification. So here's where I have to do a self-check. Does everything that I speak to others edifying? Is everything that I speak to others edifying? Should be. So if the speech that I'm verbalizing is not edifying, Does that mean that I am sinning against the Lord? Yes, let everything be done through edification. So sometimes there are leaders that I don't particularly care for the decisions that they make. And if I am ranting and raving, which I don't do, but let's just say I'm ranting and raving concerning our leaders, is that edifying? So if he says, let all things be done for edification, then it's possible that I need to change my mind about some things. And I need to change my heart about some things if everything is to be done for edification. Scripture says that we're to edify the body. Do you know what edify means? It means to promote spiritual growth. I'm glad you could read that. You know what an edifice is? It's a large building. That's, we get the word edifice from this word edify. We're building a building. We're building the kingdom. And in order to build the kingdom, we have to build one another up. We have to edify one another. How many of you ever need building up? Somebody just to come along beside you and say, man, you know, I'm so happy for what you're doing, and you encourage me, and what you're doing means a lot to me, and it means a lot to a lot of people. A lot of times we don't say anything. What would it look like if we became a church that edified one another? Would it look different than we have now? You just, you know, and I'm probably the worst about that. I need to be more edifying. So we're called to love, encourage, strengthen, build up, and help one another. That's what we're called to do. But not only are we called to do that, you're gifted to do that. Isn't that weird? That's what the gift is for, right? Are you following me? So if we're not doing that, that means we're not using the gifting that God has given us. We're gifted by the Holy Spirit to love, encourage, strengthen, build up, and help one another. Well, you may say, well, I have the gift of holding a grudge. I have a gift of holding a grudge for decades. I have a gift of grumbling, griping, and complaining. That's my gift. You have the same gift? Yeah, I have a gift of gossiping. Listen to this passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only, say only, only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Again, we've got to do a self-check. Right? Let no unwholesome talk come from your lips. So if that were the case for you, what would you have to change in your life? Have I allowed negativity to flow out of me? Have I spoken harshly? Am I paying attention to the needs of others as I speak, or am I just concerned about my own wants and desires? What's in it for me? What does my wife need to hear? Not so much what do I want to tell her, okay? But what does my wife need to hear? Scripture says, only allow those things which edifies another come out of your mouth. That's what he says. The third thing is, what do they need to hear in the moment? He says, in the moment. And there, have you ever kind of walked into a room and saw someone that you felt was discouraged or depressed or in despair? What do you think they need in the moment? Hope, love, compassion, encouragement, understanding. Snap out of it. What if we came along beside them and just said, "Can I pray for you? Can I?" It's amazing to me that when I stop and have prayer with someone, I don't necessarily feel the Holy Spirit. I'm just praying. But somehow the Holy Spirit affects them. Man, I've prayed for people and tears start coming down there, or I get a hug or something. We need, and again, I'm preaching to me as much as I'm preaching to you. Okay? I need to be more aware of what other people, where they are emotionally, and less aware of what, man, I got to get this done, and I got to get this done, and I got to get this done. Sometimes the Lord allows us to have these, have you ever missed any opportunities because your mind was somewhere else? And then you get home and say, man, I missed that opportunity. See, that's something I've got. I've missed a lot of opportunities because I've got this project I've got to get done. Don't do anything except allowing edification to come out of your mouth. That's what this scripture says. Everyone needs building up, especially in these days. Everybody needs encouragement during these days. You are gifted. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're gifted to build others up. You are gifted to build others up. That's why the Holy Spirit has gifted you. So are you using the gift that God has given you? You are gifted to build others up. There, do you remember a New Testament character named Saul? His name later became Paul. Okay, I know you know the story. And so Saul was not the best character that Christians would love to just hang around. Okay? Because he actually had a vindictive spirit. He had an agenda against Christians, and as many Christians as he could find to imprison and hopefully cause their death. He was just, man, woo-hoo. Well, one day he had an experience with the Lord, an encounter, and it changed his life. And so, generally, when a person comes to know Christ and it changes life, they want to go share it with people. Well, he wanted to go share it with the disciples. And they were like, no way! They would say, his name was changed to Paul by then. And so when they saw Paul coming, man, they'd go into hiding. Well, there was this one guy named Barnabas. His name, he's called Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement. And so Barnabas, he goes and he gets Paul. He said, come on, Paul. We're going to go. I know where those disciples are. And we're going to go meet them. Whether they want it or not, we're going to go meet them. And he got Paul. And he took them to the disciples. And he introduced them to the disciples. And the disciples were like just amazed at the transformation and began to speak into Paul's life. Well, eventually, Paul and Barnabas became a team, a missionary team. And they started going from city to city and town to town and country to country and beginning to share Christ and begin to build churches. And one of these times, Paul said, listen, there's a young man I want to take with us. His name is John Mark. So let's get John Mark to go with us. And Paul said, sure, let's take John Mark with us. Well, they started on their missionary journey, and when they got to a town called Pamphylia, John Mark, I don't know if he got homesick. I don't know if it just was a real struggle for him. I don't know why, but he decided to leave the mission team and go back home. And so Paul and Barnabas, they finished what they felt like the Lord would have them do. They moved back to Athens. This was really helping the believers there in Athens to grow that church. And then Paul says to Barnabas, Barnabas, we need to go visit those churches and those sites that we established churches in. And Barnabas said, hey, that's a great idea. Let me get John Mark to go with us. And Paul was like, no way! We were doing well, and we were in Pamphylia, whatever it is, Pamphylia, and we got there, and he took off and jettisoned. If we do it again, he's going to leave us again. And Scripture says they got into a really harsh disagreement, so much so that they parted ways. So Paul chose another partner named Silas, and they began that missionary journey, and Barnabas went back and got John Mark. Paul was zealous about reaching individuals for Christ. And that was his goal. Starting churches, going where no man has gone before. Starting these churches where the gospel had not been presented before. But Barnabas, he saw something in John Mark. And Barnabas was more concerned about helping John Mark reach his potential than he was about yielding to Paul's, I'm sure from what we read, Paul's character was kind of like overbearing. Okay? And so rather than yielding to Paul's overbearing character, he said, you know what? I need to build John Mark up. How do you think John Mark felt? So let's just say, Scripture didn't tell us how long John Mark, since the time John Mark departed the ministry until Barnabas went back to get him. Let's just say a couple of years. How do you think John Mark felt? I think he felt probably like a failure. Right? Probably like a failure. Probably he felt like that God was maybe finished with him, that God just kind of like, you know, John. I mean, that's the way Paul felt. Forget him. We got work to do. He probably had lost kind of hope in ever doing anything with the Lord again. But here comes Barnabas. Knocked on his door. Said, John Mark, I want you to go with me. Well, where's Paul? He's doing what the Lord wants him to do. But I want you to come with me. Isn't that incredible? Lord, give us a heart like Barnabas. Give us a heart like Barnabas. Help us to learn how to edify one another. Help us to learn how to encourage one another. There may be somewhere, and I was talking to the Lord about this morning. It's very possible, and I think probable, that there's somebody in here today that feels like probably John Mark did. That the Lord is finished with you because you've made too many mistakes. You got off track. How could the Lord use me? But I want you to know this message is for you. You can come back anytime you want. Because the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He didn't take it back. You're still gifted. You're still called. You need to hear this. God loves you. His plan hasn't changed. He is for you. He's not against you. Some of you this morning, I haven't met all of you. I don't know what your relationship is with Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, if you will turn from your sin, place your faith in Jesus, just surrender. Surrender to him. Then you can have eternal life with him. The Holy Spirit will come into your life and he will make you a child of God. He will gift you for the purpose that he's planned for you from the foundation of the world. Father, I come before you today and Lord, I want to thank you. This message. And Lord, I confess that I've not always been edifying. And Lord, I confess that I need, that's an area of my life that I need to work at. But Lord, you've gifted us for that. And so why would I stop that gift? So Lord, I ask you to work in each of our lives that we would be the most edifying church in the community. Lord, that when people come, that they would feel your presence. And they would not only feel your presence, but they would know that they are loved by you. They would know that they are called by you. That they would know that you have something special for them just because they're your children. Lord, if there's anyone here today who does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that they would turn their lives over to you. Because, Lord, they haven't lived until they live in you. And so, Lord, we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.